Thank you for tuning in to the Sarita House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine. How many know that God has places that you've never walked before? He's got things to tell you that you've never heard before. How many know that? Sometimes we think we know what's in God's Word. Well, sometimes we think we know what's in there, but like Pastor John and I were talking this morning, he goes, man, we don't have any idea what God has for us. Is that right? He's just showing us little by little, because you know what? I believe that we can't take it. Man, it'd wipe you out, man. Come on. Hallelujah. So know this, God is doing great things. Amen. Anybody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. God is going to do even better things than this. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I mean, that's a weak amen. I want to hear a little bit more of an amen.
Amen.
God's going to do some more. Yeah, come on, man. Hallelujah. So I'm going to tell you, God has been saying some things to me. And this is just this part. And it's a week and a half ago, he said, your perception determines your expectation. Your perception, what you believe God is, who you believe He is, determines on your perception of what can happen. I'm sorry, your perception determines your anticipation. What you believe in God, the thing that you see God doing in your life that you've never seen it, that you don't know if it can even happen. That perception of who He is, it determines your anticipation. Your anticipation is your hope. It's what you're hoping God to do. How many of you know that hope is important to us? Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Man, I can feel something coming up. Hallelujah. God gave me a message and been looking at it all week and been adjusting it. I was going to talk to you about the well, staying by the well. Abraham he stayed by the well. The last well he acquired was a well that his servants had dug, but it was violently taken away from him by Abimelech's men. Now, I don't know if you guys remember, there was a king that that when Sarah and Abraham went into Abimelech's land, he told her something. He says, say you're my sister. Sarah at this time was 90 years old, maybe a little, well, close to 90, maybe 90 plus. 90 years old, and he says, say you're my sister, because the men of this country are going to look at you and they're going to want to take you away from me. Is that all right? That's crazy, huh? 90 years old. Come on. Let me tell you something. Ladies, your age has got nothing to do with who you are. Amen? Come on. And guys, come on. Hallelujah. Age isn't nothing in the kingdom of God. It's got no issue in the kingdom. How do you know that? God knows how to strengthen you, strengthen your body. Hallelujah. So he tells her, hey, don't tell anybody that you're my wife. So Abimelech, the king, he sees her, and he sends his men, and he gets her, takes her to his house. Before he can do anything with her, before he can touch her, he goes to bed that night, and the Lord gives him a dream. How do you like that? God gave him a dream and said, man, don't you touch that. Surely, I like the way it said it, surely you're a dead man. Praise God. I was like, you're dead. He goes, hey, what are you? He goes, he goes, you have a man's wife. He goes, hey, she said that it's my sister. He goes, nobody in your kingdom will have children until you release her back to her husband. Ooh, yeah. How many know God knows what's going on? Is that right? Yeah. So he is a man. Man, my God, you know the integrity of my heart. He says, man, you know that I didn't know this. I didn't see it. So gives her back and everything. And Abimelech could see that Abraham was a blessed man, that God was watching over him. He could see it. So later on, he comes to Abraham, him and his chief captain, and he says, hey, man, we want to make an agreement with you that you will not hurt us or our children or our children's children. Will you make an agreement with me? He goes, yeah. Abraham says, sure, we'll make that agreement. But then Abraham says, but you know, let me just say something to you, Abimelech. Your men stole my well. We dug a well, and your guy stole it. And Abimelech looks at me and goes, hey, I didn't even know about this. And I don't know who did it. He goes, if they were my men, who was it? And he goes, I didn't know about this. So I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to restore you. You can have your well. So Abraham, they exchange some cattle. And that was their way of paying each one another. They exchanged some cattle and sheep and stuff. But Abraham set out seven sheep. Sheep? Is that the right word? Shep? No. What's a plural of sheep? Sheep. 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 Yeah, it's an easy one. He set out seven sheep off to the side. Abimelech looks at that and he goes, hey, what's the sheep for? And he goes, these sheep are for you and I to make an agreement. They had just made an agreement where Abraham said, I will not hurt your children nor your children's grandchildren. My family will not hurt you guys. They just made that agreement. And then he makes this agreement and he says, those sheep, these seven sheep, are for you as evidence that this is my well. And Abimelech says, yeah, okay, it's your well, man. It's cool. You dug it. It's your well. I don't know who took it away from you, but you're right. It's your well. Took those seven sheep from him, and they named the place Beersheba. Beer doesn't mean what it means in Arizona or in the United States today. Beer means well. Sheba is the same word that we get Sabbath from, or rest, or seven, perfect seven. There was seven, remember, seven sheep representing the rest. I don't have to go anywhere anymore. This is my well. Isn't that cool? And the Bible says that Abraham stayed next to the well. Is that okay? It's cool. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. You got to stay by the well. You got to stay by the well of rest. You hear me? You got to stay next to that well. It's a beautiful well. If you learn to stay next to the well, you're going to find out what goes on around you. People can say things and everything, but you've been hanging out around the well, and you've been drinking of the waters of life. And let me just say this to you. God will watch over you and take care of you. Amen? Hallelujah. We're going to start in, it's going to be Genesis, I believe, chapter 20. Somebody help me. I don't know. We don't know your thing. Praise God. I'm going to start in Genesis, if you will. Turn to Genesis chapter 21, verses 33 and 34. Hallelujah. I just got through telling you the story about the let's make a deal with these guys. Is that okay? They made deals. They said, man, we're gonna trade sheep. We're gonna honor one another. Amen. How many know it's important that we honor our word? Do you know that? You know, we're living in a world today that people think it's okay to lie to you right to your face. Is that all right? Do you know that? How many know that we're living in a world today because people just haven't been told or taught that God is really watching over them? You know that? So there's no fear of God, so they can tell you anything and not expect to have any kind of where they're going to have to give an account of what they've said. And I'm going to tell you something, you folks, it's time that we be honest people. Is that right? If there's anybody that needs to be honest people, people of kindness, people that will keep their word, it's got to be Christians. Is that right? We're the ones. We are the example to the world. And folks, if we're not keeping our word, if we're not, if, you know, oh man, I don't know how I got into this mess. But let me just say this to you. If you said you're going to pay, you better pay. Is that okay? If you're going to pay for your house, you better make sure you pay for that house first. Pay for everything that you said you're going to pay. Is that all right? And I believe God, when he sees you doing that, he's going to honor that and he will multiply what you need. So, folks, we just have to be honorable people. Is that okay? All right? Hallelujah. That's for free. That wasn't planned. I wasn't planning on saying that, but I do believe it, folks. I believe that we need to be people of our word. We need to do what we tell God we're going to do. Is that right? We need to do what we tell people we're going to do. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Anybody getting convicted, pick up your hand. So I'll be the first one. I said, man, I'll be there. And then, you know, oh, bro, man, you know, I couldn't make it. Oh, man, hey. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, where am I? Name of this title, I mean, title of this message is obedience to blessing. How many of you guys like blessing? Is that right? Do you know that blessing very much is determined by your obedience? Do you know that? God is expecting some things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's for our good. Amen? Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 21, verses 33 and 34, I really believe should be where the dividing of the chapters was. So, because we're going to go into Genesis chapter 22. And you'll see for a reason. But let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we honor you. And God, we honor your word. And God, I just pray, Father God, that your word would go out, Father God, to every heart that's here. Every heart that's here and every person that hears today, Lord, would receive from you something from your hand into their heart, into their life, God. I thank you for it. I praise you for it, Lord God. We honor you, Lord, and we do honor your word. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse 33 of chapter 21 says this, "And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days." Chapter 22, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom you love, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I shall tell you of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw that place far off." I don't know about you, man, but if I was to hear something in a dream or God would speak to me and say, "Hey, I want you to take your son, your only son, whom you love, and go and sacrifice him," I'm going to tell you, I would have a hard time with it. How many know that? Is that right? There was something going on in Abraham's life that I love about Abraham. And it's funny how Abraham, as soon as he heard, the next morning he got up to do. Is that all right?
Amen.
As soon as he heard, he got up to do what God had told him to do. How many of you, I don't like what God told him to do. How many of you know? I don't like, I mean, you go, "Ooh, Lord," you know. And I started wondering, I wonder if he discussed it with Sarah. I don't think so. I don't think he discussed it with Sarah. I'm having trouble with my microphone. I don't think he discussed it with Sarah. I don't think that he even mulled over it. You know what I'm saying? There had to be something about Abraham that as soon as he heard, he moved. And I believe the key is in those last two verses in chapter 21, where it said that Abraham planted a grove and he called upon his God. You see, when you begin to call upon God, the Bible says this, it says, "Call upon me in times of trouble and I will answer you." Abraham was used to calling upon God. Abraham knew God's voice. He knew it. He knew that was God. And when I heard it, he got up to move. I mean, do you know that sometimes we'll hear God's voice in our lives, and you know what? We'll mull over it. We'll say, "Was that God? Now, God, was that you? If that was you, God, you know, tell me again." How many of you like that? I'm like that. I said, "Wait a minute, God, was that you?" I told you that story. I was sitting in my, I studied the Bible when I was adult Sunday school teacher and in the church. And while I was, every Sunday morning, I'd get up, get my coffee, get my Bibles right before, and go over the lesson. And then I'd be in there looking at it, reading it. But this one particular morning, I got up, got me a cup of coffee, went to go sit down, and the Lord told me, "You need to wash the dishes." And my first reaction was, "I don't wash the dishes on Sunday morning, God. I don't do that." But as I sat there, I began to think. I said, "Now, why would I hear that? What would..." I realized, I mean, it was something very simple to do. How many know that? It's very simple to do. And I realized it, and I said, "You know what? That had to be God. He knows what I'm supposed to be doing in the morning. This morning, I'm supposed to be over..." going over my lesson. But he told me something. I got up, washed the dishes. Rosie come out of the bedroom. I told a lot of you this already. I repeated this a lot. But she come out of the bedroom. She looks at me. She goes, "You washed the dishes." And I go, "Yeah." And she, I mean, her eyes watered up, tears started. And she, and I got to tell you, we had a great day that day. It was awesome. I mean, all because I paid attention and listened and did what God had told me to do. I'm going to say something to you. You know that God could be saying things to you 50 times a day, 100 times a day, just saying, do this, do this. And every time, if you will listen, it will be a blessing to you. It will come to you. It will fill. And it will help you because God knows exactly who you are and what you need. Amen? Hallelujah. God is good. So Abraham, as soon as he heard, gets up. The next morning, saddles his donkey, gets a couple of servants to help him, gets the chopped wood, and heads out for the place that God said. The name of the place was Mount Moriah. Is that right? In the land of Moriah is what God said. Hallelujah. I love the obedience of Abraham, even though I'm sure it took him 3 days. It says on the third day he saw the place. I mean, 3 days of traveling with his son, looking at his son, knowing what God had said to him. I wonder how many times he might have said, you know, I need to go back. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. You know, sometimes God will tell you to do something you might not want to do. Is that right? Amen. Sometimes he'll tell you to do something. But there's something about God when he tells you to do something. It's for a good reason. Is that right? God will never take you into something that he hasn't already prepared you for. I would write that down if I were you. He'll never take you into anything that he hasn't already prepared you for. And he had prepared Abraham. I believe that Abraham had some words that came from God. God told Abraham, do you know that in Isaac shall your seed be called? Is that what he said to him? In Isaac, the world is going to be blessed. Do you know that, Abraham? So God had prepared Abraham for what he was about to do. Hallelujah. And God will not take you into anything that he hasn't already prepared you for, even though you might not realize you've been prepared. Is that okay? God is a good God. He's not going to stick you out there when he knows you're not prepared. And preparation can always be just when you're out there and something happens, it could be just, God, I need your help. You know how to call upon God when you need him. And that's a preparation that he's taught you, and you'll use it, and you learn it, you use it, and you watch what God does. So Abraham takes off. He's headed over there. He sees the place. Okay, and then verse 5 says, and Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with me, with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come to you again. Abraham called this worship. Isn't that funny? Isn't that crazy? This hard thing that Abraham had to do, what did he call it? He didn't say, we're going to go up and sacrifice. He said, we're going up to worship. We're going to go worship. Oh, man. I don't know if you get that, but I get that. I get that because when you believe in a God that believes in you, and you believe in a God that can change anything, oh, my goodness, it's a worship. Hey, God, is this what you want? I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll worship you, God. Hallelujah. We're going to worship. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went, both of them, together. Hallelujah. Set a fire down in my heart. One I can't. What? Contain. And that I can't. He took the fire, didn't he? He took some fire with him. And you know what? I just want to say something about this little portion of scripture. What God told Abraham to do, Abraham prepared himself well to do it. Is that right? As a man, he could have gotten up there, man, and says, oh, God, I'm sorry, God, I forgot to bring the knife. Make an excuse on why not to do what God had told him to do. Oh, God, you know, I forgot to bring the fire. I forgot to bring the wood. Mm-mm. Abraham was prepared to do what God had told him to do. He took what he knew in preparation to do this. It's crazy, huh? To do what? Sacrifice your son. My goodness. Hallelujah. I love it. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Hallelujah. Leave it for a teenager to notice those things. Is that right? Hey, man, we're short on something here, God. We got, Dad, where's the offering? Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself." I like the way it says in the King James. "God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went, both of them, together. Hallelujah. And they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son. Can you imagine that? Tying up his boy and laid him on the altar of wood. Can you imagine his boy? "Dad, what's up with this, Dad? Dad, what are you doing?" "Shh. Quiet." Tying him up. Tied his legs together. Hoisted him up. Took him over to the pile of wood that he had there. Laid him on top. And his boy's just standing, sitting, just laying there looking at him. "Dad, what's up? What's up, Dad?" Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Oh, that's right. It's hard, isn't it? Imagining that happening. "Dad, what'd I do? Dad, did I do something wrong? Dad, Dad, will you talk to me, Dad? What are you doing?" Oh, man. His only son, the son that he loved. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called out to him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." I love it, man. Oh, man, I love this part. Can you imagine the, oh, man, in Abraham? He says, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him. For now I know that you fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. That is to say, as it is said today, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Hallelujah. The relief of what Abraham probably went through when God said, "Don't do it." Is that right? "Don't do it. Abraham, Abraham." Called him twice by name. "Abraham, Abraham. Don't slay the son. Don't slay, don't kill. Put your hand not against him." But what I like is what God tells him. You know, how many know it's just what God says is so important to us. And he says this, he goes, "For now I know that you fear God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son." Do you see that word "seeing"? Man, I'm going to tell you something. Abraham was a man of obedience. How many know that God knew that? God knew that. How many know that this is probably going to, God knew exactly how this was going to turn out. How many know that? Is that right? But the scriptures tell us that these things are written for us, for our admonition. Is that right? So that we can learn things out of this. So we can. But I want to say something too. When God said "seeing," that's a neat word when he says "seeing." "Seeing that you will have not withheld your son." See, God is looking for an outward outward expression of what's inward. Is that okay? He is looking to see a work in you. Is that right? Oh, come on, man. Oh, you got to get this. Your obedience. Oh, let me just say this. I have the rug torn out of my wife's bedroom. Well, our bedroom, I should say. I've got that rug tore out. Oh, it's pouring out. Because I need to put some sheetrock on the walls. It's been like that for a couple of months now. So it's kind of ragged wood floor and ugly. So anytime somebody comes over, I can guarantee you nobody's going in that door. Is that right? Yeah. Reuben's not here today, but we have a tendency of we're going to talk about what we're going to do. How many of you know? And my wife tells me, we're out there talking. She goes, "What are you guys doing?" We're talking about what we're going to do. She goes, "Talk, talk, 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 talk." You know what she means, right? Talk is cheap, man. Is that right? Talk is cheap. Let's get it done. Is that right? It's more like, "Hey, man, you've talked enough about it. All right? Get it done. I plan to get that room done." Yeah, talk is cheap. Is that right? And that's kind of what God is saying here. He's saying, "Man, talk is cheap, man. Do you know that?" I want to take you to James chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Can you put that up, please? Talk is cheap. Is that right? Hallelujah. It says, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without what? Works. Works is what? Dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by what? Works. When he had offered Isaac upon his son upon the altar." You see, God is saying, "Hey, look, I am looking for an outward expression of what's on the inside of you. I am looking for work." Hallelujah. Oh, man. Hey, come on. You know, I'm not going to make you sign up for anything. Okay, is that okay? Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will cause something to happen deep within you. Say, "Hey, you know what? I think I want to do something." But see, sometimes we don't realize that we are stalling when God has placed something deep within us to work out so that people on the outside will see the work. Is that cool? Is that all right? I want to take you to Ezekiel chapter 33, I think it is. Ezekiel 33. I'm going to read this in the New King James. Faith without works is dead. Oh, you man. Hey. Let me get that. Ezekiel 33, starting at verse 30. God is talking to Ezekiel at this point. He says, I'm going to read it out there. Sorry. I have the King James. "As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses." Folks are talking about the preacher. What do you think of that? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes, you know, as preachers, you're going to get talked about. You know, he's dumb. He's not doing what he's supposed to do. Or, you know, I like him. He's kind of a nice guy, you know, whatever. You know, whatever. But people are going to talk about you. Amen. And that's okay, is that right? Hallelujah. He says, "As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and the doors of the houses. And they speak to one another, saying to his brother, 'Please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord.'" Those are good words, isn't that right? "Please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. So they come to you as people do, and they sit before you as my people. And they hear your words," but look at this, "but they do not do them." Uh-oh. Come on, man. You know what? This is good for us. "They hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they do show much love." Oh, I love you, man. I love you. But look what it says. "They show much love, but their hearts pursue" what? "Their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear your words, but they do not do them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Folks, I'm going to tell you, do you realize and understand that what is being preached to you, what's being spoken to you, needs to be looked at very carefully in your life? Do you realize that? Because sometimes I can say something. Can I tell you that I can preach to you all day long that by His stripes you've been healed? But you have to do something with that. You have to take it in. You have to pull it in and begin to say that to yourself. Can I help you this morning? If you have an ailment, begin to speak to it. Say what God has said in His Word. Place His Word in your mouth and say, "Hey, foot, I don't care what you're trying to do to me, you can't do it. Because by His stripes, I've been healed." You get a pain in your side, you start thinking, oh, this has got to be gallstones, gallbladder, whatever. You start diagnosing yourself. And you know what? The enemy likes to get in there and tell you a few things also. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. That's your liver. It's bad. Oh, no. That's a kidney pain right there. Oh, no. You know what? You know what you should do? By His stripes, I've been healed. I could preach this to you all day long. I could talk to you, till I am blue in the face. I can say it all day long. But you, personally, have to take this into yourself. You have to say, hey, you know what? The Word of God says, not Pastor Henry's word. The Word of God says that by His stripes I've been healed. The Word of God says that I am an overcomer. The Word of God says, the Word of God says, the Word of God says, the Word of God says. And you take those things that you've heard and you begin to apply them into your life. And you begin to speak them. The Word of God says in Psalm 103, He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed as the eagles. Do you like that? How many like youth? How do you like being a young man, young lady? How do you like that? I'm going to tell you something. He's going to satisfy your mouth with good things. Good things? What are you talking about? Eating donuts? No, man, not eating donuts. The Word of God. The Word of God. He's going to satisfy your mouth with good things so that you begin to speak those things and those things begin to come off of you. Your youth begins to be renewed like the eagles. You guys over 8, anybody over 80? You're going to outrun the 16-year-olds. Amen? Come on, man. He renews you. But I can preach this all day long. You can hear them, but they will not do them. Come on. Hallelujah. Do you realize that you're responsible for what you hear? Do you realize, you personally, not your neighbor, not your brother, not your wife, you are responsible for what you hear, period. Your soul, the scripture tells, is in your hand. Everything that is profitable to you is in your hand. Everything that's not profitable to you is in your hand. What do you want? What would you rather have? Oh, God, give me the things that are from your throne. Give me the things, hallelujah, that will cause me to walk the way that you've designed me to walk. Amen? Come on, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. So he says, seeing. See, God sees everything going on in our lives. Is that right? He sees it. He sees what you just said. He heard what you just said. Hallelujah. He knows. Folks, we, as his people, he knows exactly where we're at. And do you know you can be comfortable with that? And say, Lord, since you know where I'm at, help me to address the things that you know are contrary to who you are in my life. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. You know, help is a great prayer. You know that? Isn't that right? Help is a good prayer. It's a good prayer. Help me, Lord. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I was mean to that guy. Lord, help me. I need to be nice. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody says, amen. He needs to be nice. Praise God. Hallelujah. This chapter is a chapter of seeing. I'm going to tell you. It says in verse 14 of of Genesis 22, it says this, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. I was taught as a young man, I was always taught that Jehovah Jireh meant God my provider. That's how I was taught. But the scriptures kind of say that's not really what it is. It's part of it. But Jehovah Jireh means in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. That's what the scriptures even tell us. This is what it means. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. See, God is a God that sees. He's looking for outward expression, folks. Is that right? Is that okay? He is a God. Do you know that Mount Moriah, the word, the name of the mountain, Mount Moriah, the place where Abraham went? Moriah means the God that sees. The God that sees. This is a talk to, this is a chapter about what God sees. I'm looking for things. I'm looking for outward expressions. I'm looking, hallelujah. Come on, man. Hallelujah. All right, Pastor Henry, get past it. Is that okay? Okay, we're going to get past that. God's looking. God is looking to see. Oh, when we did the baptism the other day, one of the things that God said is where John the Baptist had said was, bring forth fruits of repentance. Bring forth things that we can see with our eyes that you have changed. Pretty cool. That's what God's looking for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's looking for that. I'm gonna ask you to bring Psalm 85:8. Psalm 85:8 says this: I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. And then it says this: but let them not turn again to folly. You see that? Ooh. When God speaks to you, take a hold of it. Grab a hold of it. You know what? When he speaks to you, take a hold of it. But once you've got a hold of it, don't turn back. You know what I'm saying? God says he'll provide every one of your needs. Take a hold of that. Pull it into yourself. And don't turn back. Don't turn to folly. Oh my God, what am I going to do? God, I need my house payment. I need my car payment, Lord. Don't turn back to those things. Just say, God, you said you're going to provide for me, so I'm going to believe that you're going to provide for me. Even though I don't see the money, I know that you're going to provide for me because, God, you said, and you are not a liar. You will do what you said you will do, God. So I'm going to stand on that. Even though I do not see the money for my rent, I don't see the money for my car payment, I'm going to stand on what you have told me. And I will not return to folly. I'm not going to worry about it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Everybody smile. I mean, this is really a good message. It really is. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is a good message, isn't it, Rick? This is a good message. It's just a good message. Anybody say, no, I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is looking for those outward expressions. Is that right? Hallelujah. Outward expressions. Hebrews chapter 6. Starting at verse 10. The word of God says this: for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. God's not unrighteous to forget what you've done for him. Is that okay? Can I tell you that? I'm going to tell you what you've done for God. God says, I see it. I might not see everything that you're doing. Those of you, folks, I might not see everything that you're doing, but I'm going to tell you something. God sees everything. He knows what you've done. He knows. He knows. He knows. He knows. He knows your heart. He knows when you tried to do good and you got hurt. He knows it. He knows it. And he says, I'm not going to forget. He says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have showed toward his name. in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Folks, there's a lot of people in here. I've got no idea how much you guys have ministered. But I must say, God does. He knows just how much you've done. And I praise God for that. I thank God for all the things that every one of you have done in the kingdom. And then he says this. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end. So what Paul is saying, he says, I just want you to keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Whatever you're doing, just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. It will be profitable for you. It will cause you to grow. Just keep doing what he's told you to do. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Just, I mean, even if it's, hey, shake that brother's hand over there. Just walk over and shake it. Shake somebody else's. Shake hand. But just keep doing what he's called you to do, and he will add to you. Is that okay? Because listen, I'm going to go back. All right, sorry about this. I'm going to go back to Isaiah. I'm sorry, not Isaiah, but back to Genesis 22. And I want to read the rest of this, what God says about Abraham. Because I believe when Abraham, when he did what God had told him to do, and God saw the obedience, I believe God started doing this. Come on, Abraham. Come on, man. Abraham. Abraham, I can't. Yes, Abraham, that's what I was looking for. I'm looking for that outward expression of obedience. And Abraham, in verse 15, it says, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. I love that. Second time. I want to talk to you again, bro. Verse 16 says, by myself have I sworn. God's swearing. How many know? Is it okay to swear? God's swearing. He says, by myself have I sworn, said the Lord, for because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. And he says, then in blessing, I am going to bless you. And in multiplying, I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Oh, I can't wait to preach that part. But he says, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And then he says, why? Because thou has what? Obeyed my voice. Folks, I'm going to tell everybody in the house, man, that you are hearing God one way or another. One way or another, God is speaking to you, and he is saying certain things to you. And the things that he's saying, obey them, okay? And then it says this, so Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. God was fired up. I can see God fired up about this. Because you've done this thing, because God knew that it was going to be for our admonition. Is that okay? Is that all right? He knew that people in the year 2017 are going to be looking back at the scripture, at what Abraham did, and be saying, it's obedience. Obedience is a place to get you to blessing. Is that okay? All right, now let's go back to Hebrews 6. Sorry for all the jumping around, but I think Hebrews 6. Verse 11 says, we desire that every one of you should show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Verse 12, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Be not what? Slothful. Be not slothful. What's that word?
Lazy.
Lazy. What's another word for it? Idle. Don't be slothful. What's slothful the opposite of? Work. Is that right? Work. Work. Don't be slothful. Work. He says this. Verse 13 says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely. I like when God says, surely. Surely, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Is that right? Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, patiently endure, obtain the promise. Okay, there's a promise up here. Raise your hand up here. Raise your hand up. Say, this is the promise. Raise it high, because the promise is high. Is that right? Say, promise.
Promise.
Put it right here. Patiently endure.
Patiently.
Use your other hand. Say, receive the promise.
Receive.
Promise.
Promise.
Patiently endure. Receive the promise. Promise. God promised. Patiently endure. You'll receive the promise. Oh, you don't know. You got to get this. Promise? Patiently endure and receive the promise. Hallelujah. Oh, just remember that. Remember what we just said. Okay? So then it says this. So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And then he says this, for men truly swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Guys, I mean, hey, man, I'm going to pay you, bro. Yeah, right. And he says, no, man, I swear, man. I swear by God. I swear by God that I'm going to pay you. They will always swear by the greater. Is that right? They'll swear by the greater, and then they'll give you an oath. They're going to say, I'm going to pay you. God did the same thing, but he couldn't go any greater. Is that right? So he says, by myself, I'm going to swear. Isn't that cool? I can't go any greater, so I'm going to say, by myself, I'm going to swear. He says that in blessing, I'm going to bless you. Folks, this is to you too, because you're going to read it, right? In blessing, I'm going to bless you. And in multiplying, I am going to multiply you. And he says, for men swear, verse 16 says, for men truly swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show to the, what?
Heirs
of what?
Promise.
Does everybody say promise?
Promise.
Patiently endure.
Patiently endure.
Obtain. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, the unchangeable character of his counsel, of his word. Unchangeable counsel of his word. When he tells you, by his stripes you've been healed, it's an unchangeable counsel. If you'll believe it. Or you can change it. But you're not changing it. God's not changing it. You're changing it. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Hallelujah. To the heirs of promise, if you're an heir of promise, raise your hand in the house today. Okay. Not everybody's an heir of promise. Is that right? Oh, okay. All right. Are you asleep? Come on. Ryan. Wherein God willing the more abundantly to show to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable or unchangeable things, which it is impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation. What's a consolation? A what? What's a consolation? Isn't it consoling? Is it kind of a strong comfort? A strong comfort. God's trying to give you a strong comfort. Say, come on, God, give me a strong comfort. When he has made you a promise and things are happening in your life, there's something that's called a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Do you know that hope? Do you know that hope is supposed to be joyful? Do you know that? Do you know that hope is, the word hope is elpis. El piso. I always put an O on the end because it helps me remember the floor. El piso. That's the floor. El piso. But el piso is a joyful expectation. It's what joy is. I'm sorry. That's what hope is. Hope is a joyful expectation of thing that's coming. Is that okay? Check this out. My mom, when I asked Rosie to marry me, she says, you got to buy her a hope chest. A hope chest? What's that for? So she can put her stuff in. What stuff? She can use a suitcase, Ma. No. She's got to buy sheets and bedding and pillowcases, and she puts them in her hope chest for the day for when you guys get married. She goes, don't you know that? That's what. And I didn't know that my mom had a hope chest where my dad had bought her a hope chest and opened it, and it was cedar real nice, and that's where she put all her stuff. And hope is not the kind of hope where you hear a lot of folks say, when you ask, well, are you going to be okay? Well, I hope so. Man, yeah, I hope so. You know what? God will hear you. I hope so. Yeah, that's not the kind of hope it is. The kind of hope it is this, yeah, God's going to do something for me. I know it. I can feel it. That's the kind of hope God's looking for. Hallelujah. Everybody say promise. What's this one? Patiently endure. Receive the promise. Can you put that up? Let's put this up. God's promise. High left-hand corner. God's promise. Next one. Patiently endure. How many like patiently enduring? Come on, man. Come on, Pastor. I don't like that. Patiently endure. Put up the next one. Obtain the promise. You know, the Word of God is clear, and it says, if you patiently endure, you're going to obtain the promise. Patient, the word patient, the Greek word for it is hupomone. H-U-P-O-M-O-N-E. Hupomone. That's the Greek word for it. And it means constantly abiding under. That's what it means. Patience is constantly abiding under. So you might say to me, well, under what? Under a promise. Is that okay? God gives you a promise. By patience, you patiently endure. You abide under that promise. And then you obtain the promise. But there's a problem. Come here, brother. Come here, mijo. Come here. Sometimes, you've got to face the folks. Yeah, that's it. Sometimes, it's a long road between patiently enduring. Is that right? How many can attest to this? Sometimes it's a long time between patiently enduring and receiving the promise. Is that right? Sometimes it can be long. So what I want to call that, if you put up the next little piece, I want to call that the highway of hope. Let's call it a highway of hope. Because sometimes the promise, here's where I'm patiently enduring, and I receive the promise. And it's just that close. It just happens that quick. But other times, you're patiently enduring. You're patiently enduring. Patiently enduring. And you can feel it getting closer. You can keep going over God's word and what he said and what his promise is, and you feel it getting closer. But you're on a highway. You are on a trek, if you will. And God is saying, patiently endure. Patiently endure. You will receive what I've given you, but you just got to hold on. Just patiently endure. Patiently endure. And you're going to find yourself getting closer. Somehow you're going to say, yeah, I got it, God. Sometimes you're going to feel like, man, it feels like I'm back over here again, God. No, no. But God's saying, no, you're over here. Patiently endure. Patiently endure. Patiently endure. Patiently endure. Patiently endure. Everybody say promise. Patiently endure. And then you receive the promise. And you get a hold of it. And the promise is good. Thank you, ma'am. Listen. What is it that you're patiently enduring for? What is it? Every one of us has something different. Everybody in the house. Some of you, I want to see my grandson saved. Some of you, I want to, I need a house, God. Patiently endure. You'll receive the promise. But don't go backwards. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? As men and women of God today, it's important that we continue to push forward and not backwards. Do you know that the more you push into God, the more I believe that gap is closed? God will give you more and more to hope on so that you get to this other place where you receive the promise. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. This is what's happening right now in this house. I believe that this building belongs to us. I believe it. There's some ups and downs happening. You can ask some of the guys from the board. There's some ups and downs things going on. And sometimes it kind of pushes on my patiently enduring. Is that right, Pastor John? I said, man, God, God, cause this to not happen. Don't let this happen, God. Come on, God. I know what you said to me. I know that there's property that's around this, 14.2 acres. God spoke that to me. As I was walking in these doors, he said, 14.2. And I go, okay. I run over to my Bible. What chapter? Looking at, what chapter, God? Which chapter are you talking about? Never heard. A week later, I'm standing out the corner out here, and I feel the presence of God. And I'm saying, man, I'm waiting to cross the road to go across over towards Taco Bell. And I don't eat Taco Bell, so, by the way. I was ready to go across the street, and I'm watching the traffic, and I could see my gap coming up. But all of a sudden, I felt the presence of the Lord. I go, oh, yeah, this is nice, God. You're on the street corner here today, God. Hallelujah, praise God. And I turned around, and I looked towards this way into this property, and there was a sign there. It said, for sale. 14.2 acres. And I said, oh, God, you want the property. Hallelujah. Praise God, man. I missed my avenue to get across the street, but that's okay. That's okay. This, I believe God is saying things. I'm hearing things. But yet there's this patiently enduring thing you got to go through. Ain't that right? And those things are those. Those are, but God, if you patiently endure, God, I know what you said to me. Some of you might not believe me. It's okay. I know what I heard. I know God's voice. I was in here looking for the book, chapter and verse. God, what is it? I know what God said to me. And when I saw that sign, it exploded within me. I said, God wants a property. What for? I got no idea. But I will patiently endure. This building's going to be ours. And I, folks, you know, I'm going to just say, I need you to do the same for me and with me. That you believe God, that this house, he's going to put it into our hands this year. That property, it's not going to sell to anybody. That sign can stay up there all it wants. But God says he wants it. So if God wants it, I'm going to tell you something. I don't think anybody's going to get it. Amen? Hallelujah. Go talk to God. I don't care. Hallelujah. He said, you know, I believe it, folks. I believe it. Patiently endure. Patiently endure. And you're going to receive the promise. Because that's where God is. He says, I do not lie. Because I cannot swear by any higher, I'm going to swear by myself. And it says, and surely, I swear by myself, surely, in blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I'm going to multiply you. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. That thing is mine. I believe it. That's ours. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. So I'm going to say this. Listen to me. Check this out. Check this out. So whatever it is that you're waiting for, whatever it is, whatever it is. Kentucky? Whatever it is you're waiting for. Whatever it is. Patiently endure. And then if you're not sure what you want, what you need, ask him. Lord, show me. Show me. Give me. Give me a word on what you want me to do. And you will find that God said, I've been speaking it to you all the time. You just didn't realize it was me. You just didn't realize that I was speaking into your heart. Folks, this is crazy. Isn't this cool? You on your own are responsible for everything coming in and going out. That's cool, man. That's good. So if you begin to just say, God, I'm going to take a look at everything coming into my life. I'm going to resist those things that are not of you. And I'm going to take the things that are of you, and I'm going to build on them. I'm going to build on them. You're going to find that God begins to speak to you. You hear his voice more often, more clearly, more often, more clearly, more often, more clearly. And you're going to find that he does have a direction for you to go in. And that's awesome. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody might ask me, hey, are you afraid of all the people that's in the house that God gives them different things? Absolutely not. Because God is not the author of confusion. Have you ever been in a house where there's a lot of folks and, man, it's confusing, man, everything going on. And you know, I believe that God, when God speaks vision into the people of God, that it doesn't turn into confusion. It turns into this great unity thing. How they're going across the street to go look for souls across the street. A great thing of unity. God moving in a way. God doing things so that he can show us that his promises are real and they will always come to pass if we'll believe them. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's stand. Glory to God. Everybody go like this. Promises. Promise. Promise. Patiently endure. I will receive. Say that. Look at your neighbor next to you. Say, patiently endure. Tell them that. Receive the promise. Patiently endure. Receive the promise. Patiently endure. Receive the promise. Praise God. Patiently endure. Receive the promise. Patiently endure. Receive the promise. Patiently endure. Receive the promise. Pastor John, patiently endure. Receive the promise. Patiently endure. Patiently endure. Receive the promise. Patiently, patiently, patiently. Patiently endure. Receive the promise. And you're going to find that God is so true to his word. And those promises begin to happen. And you know what? And it brings us joy. See, God, show me something else. God, because it showed me something else to believe you for. Amen? Hallelujah. So let me pray for you. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. Father, whatever your people are going through, Father God, encourage them to know that God, as they patiently endure, they will absolutely, without a doubt, because your word is unchangeable, your word is unmutable, it cannot be changed, that they will receive the promise that they have been waiting for, they have been looking for. God, I thank you. I thank you, Father, that you are able to do far abundantly above all that we ask or think. And God, that your word, Father God, is true. And we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. Bless my brothers and my sisters, Father God. Let your spirit be mightily upon them, Father God, these days coming, this coming week. Let your spirit be mightily upon them, Father God, to do that which you've called them to do, God. I thank you for it and I praise you for it, God. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Amen.